All right, here we go. Welcome, everybody, to another Face Rocker podcast. This one, Brandon returns from his European vacation rejoins us. And we all have a sweet headphone set up, so maybe Logan won't clip out the mic as often.
Except for me.
I'm right here.
He hears you.
Yeah, Logan's still adjusting to be able to hear himself while doing it. Well, I still don't have my headphones because the ones I brought are too short.
And also, Brandon never has this problem. It's really just Logan and Matt.
Well, we don't have... the thing is, I'm hearing all of you in real life, too, so it's like a chorus effect with a slight delay, so it just sounds like everybody's superhuman right now. Like, everybody's basically in Kamehameha mode.
I don't think this has ever been mentioned before, but I think it bears mentioning right now, is that Matt and I actually, before all of YouTube, before Matt worked at Disney, before everything back in college, we worked together as audio professionals. And so now that you've heard the way Matt speaks in the microphone, just remember, for years,
Matt professionals. It also should be noted, Matt cannot actually begin a sentence if somebody else isn't talking. Even there.
See? I'm going to try really hard. Though I got to say, my goal is to try really hard not to interrupt anybody this podcast. And then have all the
Listeners at home, keep a tally.
And then have all the complaints about Logan. But here's the thing. I feel like if Logan wasn't the superstar he is, which he clearly is the superstar of this podcast, it'd be so apparent how much of a mic control freak he is on these things. Dez last week couldn't believe it. When we left, Dez was like, man, Logan just eats that mic the entire time. It's impossible to talk. He ran the whole show. So we'll see.
What we got on our list of topics today?
Should we know that I haven't interrupted once?
There's been no interrupting yet podcast.
I've interrupted Matt to tell people to take tally, so I got one right now.
But. And Matt actually interrupted Brandon earlier. We should actually get like a sock or something and pass it to whoever is talking.
See, here's the problem though. None of us actually understand what it means to interrupt someone else, so we wouldn't even be able to take account if we tried to.
Like, we don't understand the idea of cutting off somebody else's
speech. No, I don't understand
speech.
The idea of it.
There's, yeah, I don't get it. Brandon, no, I don't know you're getting
it. Brandon, what? Now you're going to want to get on this?
To make I just heard three people interrupt each other.
No, wait, what was it? When would we do it?
What? All three of you are talking at the same time.
Well, listening is a skill. Let's make that one of the topics. If we run out of everything else to talk about, let's talk about listening. The art of listening.
Well, hopefully...
You guys should all be good at this. Since you listen to the podcast. We need to train you before you move on.
I feel like this podcast is going to be full of awkward pauses now as everybody waits.
Well, we haven't had an awkward pause, but it definitely is a lot mellower. Yeah. Like, the fact that we're wearing headphones has brought down the energy level.
Yeah, well, and like, I hope that this setup will at least curb some of the interruption. But anyway, let's get going on our topic.
I guess headphones could also be called audio shackles. Not shekels. Shackles.
Audio shekels.
Audio shekels.
Shekels before we move on.
Brandon's taking a picture of me for some reason.
By the way,
I'm going to take a picture of Matt. So you guys can see him look like he looks like a cat who's just who's like if you ever put headphones on a cat, they stand there like looking around like what is going on?
That's the way it's like Matt right has now. Never worn headphones in his entire life.
Put that on the old Twitter.
What about my face?
I'll tweet like it out. Yeah.
Look like they're comically too small for your head.
I also haven't had a haircut in like 7 months at this point, so
I like your hair like that. I think your hair looks great.
Well, thank you, Logan. Logan's a man who builds confidence.
So you know, let's kick it off. Brandon, you're back from 2 weeks in Europe, and you had not left the country prior to this point, correct?
Yeah, I've left the country technically a little bit. I went to Mexico on a cruise for 1 day. It doesn't count. I went to Tijuana for 1 day in college. That definitely doesn't count.
Yeah.
but it was
no,
a good time.
No, it counts. It counts. Why does it? Why wouldn't it count?
Because none of the like the crazy Tijuana things that you hear about happen, but that's actually a point of
that's
all of
not
your
true.
None of the crap happens that people say is going
to
happen.
But didn't the cops actually try to plant drugs on one of you
that
guys?
That was Brian's story.
Oh, but that was a separate trip.
That was not my trip. No, that was Dalton and Brian. This trip was Dalton, myself, and
I don't think we've ever talked about Dalton before. He's just a guy we know.
I think they got that.
A little footnote. Thanks, guys.
But the other time was I went up to Vancouver for a month and a half to shoot the movie with Nico.
Oh, that's
and
right,
Sam.
Yeah.
And that's also not really a real out of the country.
Canada's too close.
Vancouver's not the, you know, so Europe was a first time, like, cross-country, first time in a long flight, the first time I'd ever flown farther than 5 hours.
Ooh.
So, scale of 1 to 10, Europe gets a...
Well, it depends on that's tough. There's many different factors.
In terms of country by country.
Yeah, there's different parts of Europe, Logan.
Yeah, country by country. Okay, let's just make this clear. First of all, I landed in Rome, mm-hmm. went from Rome up to Florence, and then up to Venice, then went into Switzerland, rode the Glacier Express across, saw about 4 or 5 different places in Switzerland, and then went into France and just went basically straight to Paris and hung out there, with the exception of going to some castle at some for one day.
In France?
Versailles in France.
Versailles is not a castle.
It's supposedly a palace.
It's the palace of the Sun King.
Wikipedia. Like it was going to be a castle, and let me be clear, it was not. It was another building full of art.
But it's supposed to be incredible, right? Like the garden is supposed to be really amazing.
I described to Brandon this. It's like you have to imagine a bunch of rich French people just drunk and just walking around and being like, yeah, this is pretty good.
I mean, I really wanted to go to Versailles when I was in Paris. That and Euro Disney were the two things that I missed out.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the one thing I did not do when I was in Europe is I did not pretend that I liked art a ton, because I think that I did go to a few different museums, which you can't help but go to a few different museums. I didn't realize that every single attraction in Europe that you've heard about is just another giant art museum.
That's not true. Well, it's an art museum, or it's art history related. Like basically all of Rome is like looking at artifacts from Roman times.
Yeah, there's a difference between artifacts and art, though. Like art as an art museum, because here's the thing, like the average, I don't know about Europeans, I guess they do it more, but the average American
Europeans.
Well, I mean, I've never asked them what their art viewing habits are, but I know that Americans' art viewing habits are very seldom. Like,
they're seldom, it's viewed as a hoity-toity thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is a
shame. Them Jew Yorkers.
But everybody from America that goes.
Jeez. No, but we watch movies and TV.
That's some salty language.
We watch movies and TV and read the top 10 bestseller lists.
Like, whereas Americans go and watch, like, Kelly Ripa. Like,
it's a great show in the morning, by the way. She wakes me up.
It's like a cup of joe.
It's like a cup of joe.
Europeans just go to a museum in the morning, actually.
I feel like they don't.
They probably take it for granted, actually. Like, the Colosseum is like, fuck that shit over there. Just replace that with the Circuit City.
That's where the kids after school hang out and smoke and whatnot. It's just underneath the Colosseum.
Underneath the Colosseum.
Yeah, that's probably what happens.
So what do you think of the Colosseum? Overrated?
No, here's the thing. I was pleasantly surprised that everything that I'd heard about, like, in your all the big, like, major attractions that you have to go to, you know, David, Colosseum, Roman ruins, Vatican, all that stuff, was always pleasantly, like, way huger than I imagined it would be. Like, the Colosseum was way taller than I thought
Parthenon,
it
would be. Parthenon is pretty small.
I didn't go to Greece.
Oh, good.
Good thing.
And I know that you can hardly
boring.
Go to Greece.
Boring.
No, I was pretty sure. I thought that like the Michelangelo, like David, I thought that that thing was like regular human size. I didn't realize it was 20 feet
tall.
It's
designed actually with keeping in mind that the people looking at it are like really small at the bottom. So he's actually got a forced perspective on it. So his head's unusually large.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it from above, it looks weird.
Really? Interesting.
Perspective, so it looks regular.
So you're saying that Michelangelo knew that people would be taking pictures of it?
He said he knew that people would be below it.
Michelangelo actually
since
predicted,
it was 60 feet tall.
He actually predicted not only the SLR camera, but the digital SLR camera.
Really? Isn't his writing?
Comes from
no,
one
that was,
of his,
that was Da Vinci.
Homes.
Da Vinci drew pictures of DSLRs.
That's
with
true,
flip-up
yeah.
Screens.
Yeah. In backwards, though.
In backwards. With his left hand, was it?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. His left hand.
What a crazy man.
Truly a seer, though.
Well, the amazing thing about Da Vinci...
I heard he predicted 9/11, Da Vinci.
Yeah.
So did the Bible.
They all predicted 9/11.
Okay, and the dollar bill.
Everybody did.
the dollar bill did, too.
So there was actually a Da Vinci exhibit at the Getty, which is a museum in Los Angeles, if you're not local. It's very famous.
I love when you feel the need to explain things, but there are certain things you'll notice that, like, you don't feel the need to, like, explain to people, because, like, of course you know what that is. Of course you know what teledildonics are.
Or digital SLRs. Yeah. Or DSLRs.
Exactly, yeah.
But anyways, at the Getty, and they had a bunch of, it was just his sketches, like, it was, like, Da Vinci's notebooks. So it wasn't anything, like, anything famous or well-known. It was literally just, like, his, like, coffee napkin notes. But each of them had some of the most well-rendered drawings you've ever seen in your life, including what many art scholars consider to be the best drawing of a horse in the world. Ever.
The tough competition.
And it's like, it's just on a napkin. They're like, most experts consider this to be the best drawing of a horse ever made.
There's one person.
You're like, who is the expert on this?
Can you imagine the person who held that title before they found that page? He's like, haha, I have the best drawing of a horse. And they're like, oh, actually, we just found a napkin from Da Vinci. Yeah, like, that fucker!
They just took the trophy away and gave it to him.
Now
and what's also amazing is like,
I assume the guy who had that was a Daniel Steele author, book cover offer.
And Daniel Steele is a romance
For those of you who aren't local.
Yes, for those of you who aren't local. But so, like, he had, like, the best drawing of a horse, all these amazing drawings of, like, human anatomy and stuff, all his crazy, like, meanderings written backwards with his left hand, some of which were erased and replaced. And then on top of all this, he had the schematics. He just drew this, like, out of his head, the schematics for smelting out of bronze the largest bronze sculpture ever made up to that point. And he just was like, this is how I do it. And he just built all these insane mechanical engineering drawings. Just thinking about it. They're like, yeah, if he built this, it would have worked better than probably anything we have even today. So, like, there's certain people who just come out of the mother's womb and just kill it from day zero to day 9,000.
Is that how many days there are in your lifetime? About 9,000?
Well, 9, Da Vinci's. In fact, I believe it was 9,000 times 24 hours times 60 minutes times 60 seconds is exactly how long he lived. And then he just expired and turned into dust.
Where's that from?
Where did Da Vinci
Encyclopedia
Code?
Encyclopedia Britannica.
The sequel to Da Vinci Code.
Sequel to Da Vinci Code.
His death was a code.
So, you know, Brandon, one of the things I noticed is actually you left at probably the least patriotic time to leave. You left before the 4th of July.
Yes, I did. I left on the 2nd of July, and I missed the 4th of July for the first time in my entire life. I was out of the country, and it was kind of... It was kind of somber, like recognizing really? That.
So, how did you celebrate July 4th? Where were you?
I was in Rome.
And when did you realize what day it was?
The moment I woke up.
Yeah.
Till the moment I went to bed, because like that's the way 4th of July is for
you,
me.
You woke
it's
up.
It's
like
an all day 24/7 kind of thing.
You have like an iPhone alarm that only plays on 4th of July and it just plays like Yankee Doodle.
It just plays gentle.
Fortunately, I kind of made up for it the best I could because I'd seen Transformers 3. 3 days prior or 4 days prior. So it's like I pretty much, like, patriotism was at an all-time high in me.
How about that movie too, by the way?
How about it?
How
did
about
you
it?
Did you end up seeing it?
Fantastic.
You know, I thought it sucked.
What about the Buzz Aldrin Ouch. Cameo?
Buzz Aldrin was ridiculous, as was the wingsuits. Guys, there's only one way we're gonna get into the city. With wingsuits.
What's great about that?
We haven't been able to get any jets or Tomahawk missiles into the city. Let's take some Ospreys.
Yeah. When they were saying that plan, I thought they were going to like fly really high and drop in. I didn't realize their plan involved sending more airplanes and all of them getting shot down.
Yeah.
Except for the ones with the main characters.
Except for the ones with the main characters.
The best part about that is Michael Bay's movies are getting more and more ridiculous in the amount of goodwill fellow men have to each other. Like at the end of Bad Boys 2, guys like, hey, you guys all want to lose your police job and go to Cuba to save my girlfriend? And they're like, okay, and they do it. In this movie, a guy's literally like, hey, I have a friend who kind of likes a girl and she was kidnapped. Would you all mind flying to Chicago and meet me there and I'll risk your lives to save her? And they're all like, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, the best part was, who was the guy that was like, I didn't sign up for this shit? It's like,
What did you sign up for?
Wait, but you did. There are two other movies where man has fought these giant robots.
Do you guys remember the part where the Transformers let Chicago blow up just to prove a point? that they were needed?
And a perfectly good space shuttle.
Yeah.
They could be like, we shouldn't launch this. There's a bomb on it.
No, it wasn't a bomb. It got shot down. Come on.
Either whatever.
Here's something that's crazy. I saw a video about like the sound design for Transformers.
That was great. I'm glad you preceded it with that comment. That's great.
No.
So what's so great about it?
You forget that it's so much crap going on frame and Transformers that you forget how insane that movie looks. And then you look at it again, like later, and it's like, holy crap, I don't remember that scene being that insane.
Well, it's one of those things where if you stop and realize what you're looking at, you realize none of it's real. And it's amazing how much craftsmanship went into every single shot.
Every frame.
But it has the same problem as Tron, where it's like thousands of man hours and like some of the best special effects guys in the world working on arguably one
All
of
the best
shittiest scripts. Just the shittiest script you've ever read in your life. Tron had the same problem where it's like everything, including the marketing, everything was AAA number one, the most amazing, except for the script. The script was terrible. It's like, guys, if we just put in like an extra $20,000 into the script, this $100 billion
is not even the money thing, because they spent a lot of money on the scripts. It's just there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And there's too much money at play. And frankly, just the story doesn't matter as much anymore.
But
they make a list of like 100 things that, like 100 check boxes that have to be checked by the script. And they're like, okay, here, make one that fits all of these. And they add 10 more and remove 10 every single day. And then
it's just like,
I saw that stuff firsthand at Disney with Tron. I can't really talk about it, but like you can see all the different hands are in place, you know.
I mean, like, just think about like even like the whole like weird Shia LaBeouf gets a spy on his wrist.
That was like, bizarre.
And it didn't do anything. It literally had it no point him. In that movie.
It hurt him.
It made him like wince every once in a while and gave like two comic relief moments of him like awkwardly putting his hand places.
Which I that thought was pretty it. Funny.
Well, here's the thing. So I used to believe I wanted Bay to write a better, to direct a better script. In my, like, for the last few years, I've been like, I just need Bay.
Bay writes those decent scripts. Script. He totally writes those.
He does. A totally decent script and it'd be a great movie. Now that I've seen Transformers 3, I don't want that. I want the opposite. I want Bay to go Baraka. I don't think he just doesn't care, so we'll never get a passionate, good script out of him. He just wants to show you fucking visuals.
I want
to
see Michael Bay direct a remake of Al Jolson's The Jazz Singer.
I mean, I would like to see that too. I'd pretty much see anything he makes for sheer curiosity. But I would love him just no script, just whatever is in Bay's mind.
Which should be good for all you guys out there. Jazz Singer's the first.
Oh my god! Come on,
they have Wikipedia, Logan, and Google.
Also noted for its intense use of blackface, which is what the Michael Bay joke was about.
Anyway, what I was getting to with the just to back up a little bit with the 4th of July thing, Brand has an incredible story about why Europeans hate us.
Oh, so basically, after missing 4th of July, when our third stop on the vacation was France, and it happened to be on one of their holidays.
Bastille Day.
It's like their 4th of July, right?
I guess so. Well, apparently, for Bastille Day, basically what the plan was it right by the Eiffel Tower, they're going to have a big fireworks spectacular, and it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And so everybody went down there, and of course, in typical French fashion, I guess there was no planning whatsoever for this. It was basically like fireworks
typical French
center of the city. Let's go. And so there was no bathrooms.
Hey, hold on.
No,
should we bring in the bathrooms? No.
No additional bathrooms. No additional anything. No additional like planning for the subways. No additional, like, nothing was put into this other than the fact that, like, we're going to throw a big fireworks spectacular right in the center of the city, and we're going to have everybody come to it.
It seems like you would love that, though.
Oh, I did. It was by far the greatest fireworks show I've ever seen. I'll say it would beat every single 4th of July
I've ever seen. Disneyland. Have you been to Disneyland?
Yes, I've been to
Disneyland.
Better than Disney World, yes.
You've seen both fireworks spectacles.
I've seen the Disney World one a long time ago, like in third grade.
What about the Disneyland one?
Better than both of them.
Because Disney.
And this is why.
Logan, they're better.
Logan, they're better. They're better, Logan. Okay.
In this fireworks show, we all ended up with, like, three times I got chunks of fireworks, like, in my eye. I got soot in my eyes.
Okay,
in the end, like,
good.
Literally, I had soot all over my stuff. Like, every one of us was caked because we were so close to these fireworks. And they were literally, like, they had an area cleared off where they were shooting them up, but they're shooting them out over people.
I love that. They just don't give a shit.
All the time you see people, like, wincing, like, ah, ah. And they're watching, like, oh, yeah, this is the greatest. And they're like, oh, gosh.
This sounds great. This sounds like sounds like paradise.
This is my thing. No, it was paradise because this is my fourth. And here's the funny thing. This is where it got good. Is that the theme of this year's fireworks spectacular was your favorite musicals? Because, you know, they always like to try to put music to fireworks.
So just Les Mis or
no? French it was all to? American musicals.
Which ones?
It was like, it's like the grand finale.
Well, how many French musicals are there?
None.
I'm just saying Les Mis.
That's the American.
The grand finale of their show was West Side Story. Like, it's good to be in America. Everything's good in America.
And like, why do the French not like the Americans?
But they love it because they were there celebrating.
Not during those parts.
The thing is, French people do not hate Americans. What they do not like is the idea of their culture being subsumed by America.
Which is what this is, which is like their independence day.
I'm just saying, like, so, like, everybody complains about, like, man, if you're in Paris, everybody's gonna be a dick to you. Like, that's what everybody warned me. They're totally not.
Absolutely not.
The one thing you have to do is basically say, I don't know how to speak French in French. If you say that to them, they're like, no parlez-vous français, like, then they, and you're, like, actively apologetic, they're totally cool with you. They will be very nice. They'll help you out.
Yeah, I agree with you. People weren't dicks. Like, that stereotype wasn't true. The thing that I definitely noticed was there was, like, because we went and saw Harry Potter, the second path there as well. And the trailers before the movie, once again, was Captain America.
And, like, it's not Captain America over there.
It is now.
I
thought it was the first Avenger.
I thought that as well, but I guess they're
first hand, I can tell you.
Did they change that Captain line America. That says heroes are born in America? Is that still in that trailer?
It's not in the trailer.
Okay.
they removed as much America as they can from the trailer, except for the title was definitely Captain America, the first Avenger. But it was like, so the funny thing was, like, before the movie, there was about five trailers that played, and four of them were all American trailers, and one was like this French movie. And during that, everyone's like this laughing, like uproarious, like the whole crowd's in it. And then every other one, the American trailers, there's just silence watching. And all of Harry Potter, just like silence, except for like a few times they like got out, got rowdy, and started yelling at the screen.
To be fair, French hate wizards.
It's the same thing in America. If you have like a foreign film trailer show up, everybody just stares at it.
Yeah.
And if you see a foreign movie, everybody just sits and then politely claps afterwards.
It made me wonder why were we releasing American comedies?
No, I'm talking about a movie. If you see like a foreign movie.
Like comedy is the one genre that absolutely cannot be like subtitled and translated very well. But it's very difficult to do.
It depends. It depends on the type of comedy.
Especially like, when it's not
slapstick,
a very good comedy.
Slapstick can translate pretty easily.
Well, the types of comedies that are coming out now don't really. Judd Apatow's comedies don't really translate too well.
Puns apparently work in a lot of languages. Like French and English have a lot of like puns that can cross over. Apparently, like
what
they were talking about, there's a lot of puns in Disneyland stuff. And they're talking about how, like, when they convert stuff to Euro Disney, they have to get a script guy.
A punologist.
A punologist, yes. A PhD in punology to come in. And apparently it's pretty easy to switch it to Euro Disney.
Really?
It's because puns are easy.
Puns are easy. I actually have a bumper sticker that says that. Puns are easy.
Give up.
Give up. Did I ever tell you guys about my idea for a sort of novelty card set called Mutt Puns?
Oh, the dog.
It'd be different cards with either the back half of a dog or the front half of a dog, and combine them to make different silly mutt puns, like the hat, like the first, like the butt of a bulldog and the head of a shih tzu, so you can make a bullshit.
And so like, you did pitch this to me, and I asked you to come up with more than two, and you had bullshit. And you had one more, and then you could not for the life of you think of any other two combinations of dog names that would say anything.
I mean, maybe if I had my Mutt Puns card set in front of me, I could come up with a few.
It would be three cards, and half of them would be used. Be bullshit. And forget what the other one was.
I forget shit bull.
Shit bull, bullshit.
All right. Anyways. So before
the Mutt Puns coming to a target near you,
Mutt Puns.
So I want to ask you, Logan, because before I left for Europe, the last thing that you said to me was that you're like, Brandon, you're going to absolutely hate Europe. And I asked you why. And you're like, I'm not going to tell you. You just got to go. And so I want to know now what was it? Because there were many things that were like aggravating about it. And there were many things that I really liked about it. But I want to know what you were getting.
I think it's general un-Americanness.
Well, like, yeah.
That's actually it. Like, it's just like, there's a lot of things over there that we take for granted. Like, things being bigger over here. Like, I'm not a large man, but like, in Europe, my elbows were hitting everything. And every meal was too small. Like, I had to pay for fucking water. Like, everything tastes slightly funny. Like, it's unpleasant. It's like being in a weird bizarro universe.
Yeah, well, Europe has suffers from a syndrome that we don't suffer from, and that is like, it's easiest to build something the first time from scratch. Like, and so and technology has constantly improved and improved. So all of Europe, unfortunately, was built back, you know, 1,000 years ago was when the original like street plans were laid out and stuff like that.
I don't know if that's unfortunate.
Well, here's the thing, because
it makes. There are affordances and allowances for their buildings are the affordances and allowances of 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, cars, for instance, were not... They're,
we're not designed to go on those streets.
Were not designed to go on those streets, so everything's like cobblestone and way too compact. And subsequently, their cars are small as fuck.
Yeah, to try to compensate for it. But it's like, America, no, we also have this problem because, I mean, we designed the whole thing 200 years ago, and we're still dealing with those same, like, street layouts and the same problems, and you see it all over the place. Like, in L.A., you see the 110, you know, up north. It's a big problem and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
East Coast especially, you get plenty
of... Everyone suffers, but we benefit from the fact, at least we were in 1800, but they were back, you know, 1,000 years prior to that and stuck with it. And so it's really, you see that constantly.
Well, they also just don't have the amount of free land that we do. Like, even now, like, the Midwest is...
We have lots of space. We could fit many nations amongst amongst Montana, Nebraska, that area. Like, we could fit entire countries.
New York is compact. Even Los Angeles is incredibly spread out. Like, it's a big city, but its density is incredibly light, actually, as opposed to Europe, which is incredibly dense, right? Like, they just have nowhere else to go.
And there's like a lot of the qualities. The same qualities that come out of New York also come out of Europe, is that like everything's close together. It's way, you know, public transportation actually works because you can't really do public transportation between the vast expanses of the U.S. is in many cases.
Yeah.
But
that was the general, like, it's the general non-familiarity of everything. It's just like everything is slightly different in a not American way.
Yeah, the biggest thing to sum it up,
candy that's different from the candy.
To
that
sum
you
it up
like.
In a nutshell, I never realized being in America my entire life. I never realized how much focus we put on like improving systems. Like, we look at things, we're constantly trying to improve on things. Like, and that's actually the most common complaints. Like, we're sitting there, we're doing something, we're like, oh, they could do this better. You should do this. You could eliminate this step. You could fix this. there didn't seem to be any of that going on over there, because people were very accustomed to waiting in long, like atrociously long lines. There was nothing, like there was such like obvious little holes in the systems. Did you notice this when you were over there?
Like, give me an example. I need like a concrete example.
Let me think. There was Freddie. Do you remember
the train one, right? The train station where you, the Eurorail train station where you're talking about, where you just cut to the front and the person was like, "Oh, I should go over there." Like, no.
Oh yeah, just people shoving up where there's like there's definitely a feeling of like in America when something doesn't work, there's usually someone to turn to like for help in some case. You know, like there's always an employee on hand. There's always like a fail safe for everything, and you know it's always fine. In Europe, there's many times where it's like it's after this time. It's like if there's nothing. There's nothing. You're just shit out of luck, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, there was a time where we had a very last minute. We had to go and we had to get a train ticket validated or whatever. And we went in there. We went in front of the line or whatever, because there was this big line that was clearly not moving. It was going to last like an hour. So we went to the front of the line or whatever, you know, had Heldine go because she's a girl and she can get to the front of any line being a girl. Go up to the person and like, "Oh, we got to get on this." And like, "We got, you know, train leaves in 10 minutes. And she's like, "Oh, sure. You know, I'll take care of that for you." And she kind of looks around and then she proceeds to go through this like procedure of like the slowest paperwork process I've ever seen in my entire life. And this would be like an isolated incident if it wasn't persistent throughout like the constant, like throughout the entire trip.
They definitely take people, it easier than America.
I was going to ask that. Do you feel like more people are relaxing in Europe? Because like when you walk around LA, you either see people going to work, leaving work, or like going to a party. Like there's nobody, like very rarely do people just
okay, so
chilling.
Here's actually a big thing is, first of all, it's nation by nation. For instance, Italy and Greece really got the impression they don't give a fuck.
Well, I know Greece.
Yeah.
Greece,
no, yeah. This, yeah. Take this. I know there's dozens of examples where this is not the case. I shouldn't be saying Europe for this. I really should be saying it was France and Italy were the two.
France and Italy are a lot more. Germany, however, Germany runs like clockwork.
Yeah, no, that was my impression.
You don't fuck with Germany. Like, they are robots. But, like, Italy, I got the impression it's like, well, whatever.
Yeah, no, I was shocked at how abruptly things changed there as well. Like in the U.S., if you travel 100 miles, nothing changes. It's a slow evolution. You know, it's like there's entire areas and there's like gradual changes. Whereas Europe, like you cross a border and like suddenly like the language is different, the food is different, the way people think is different, the way people move is different. Like it's like everything changes. Like what happened? You know, it's like.
But also because of that, people seem a lot more tolerant of each other. Like, it's like when you show up in Germany, if you're from France, they're like, "Oh, dude, you're just a." Like,
do you believe that's the case?
Yes.
I hear different things because
I heard many people. Because I heard there's this thing called World War I that happened.
And my general opinion,
World War I's kind of like brothers fighting. Now,
everything I've heard from people go to Europe is like Europeans are more racist and they have bigger problems with each other. Whereas Americans, like for example, L.A., we're all together. Like you have a lot of the different races here, and all despite what Crash says, L.A. is like not very racist at all. In fact, it's the opposite.
But we are very. Discriminating of people outside of Los Angeles, though. If you have somebody come from like Cornhuskin states to Los Angeles, we're like, look at that.
See, I've never felt that. I've never seen
like,
that here.
Have you ever talked about creationism with people here? They the amount of vitriol.
Yes, liberal hippie film students are very racist. I'm just saying against the South.
People feel really willing to shit on like fundamentalist Christians and stuff. Which is very much a Midwest sort of thing. Uh-huh. Whereas in Europe, people
Muslims are totally beloved in France.
But I'm not talking about Muslims. Though. I'm talking about French.
No, I know, but
French, Germany, and Italy. If you go to the other, if they go to one another's countries, they might not be the biggest fans of each other, but they still just kind of roll with it. Like, if you don't speak the language, people don't just start staring at you. If you don't speak English in Los Angeles, people fucking stare at you.
Yeah, no, they're used to differences in speaking language. They're used to dealing with these.
Yeah, problems. They're used to.
We are not used to differences.
But here's one thing I've heard is a lot of jokes. It may not be necessarily like actual like racism or whatever, but it's like a lot of the jokes are like, "Oh, haha, this is what French people are like, and this is what the Polish are like, and this is what Germans are like."
Well, like Top Gear, that thing where they made fun of Mexicans and like Mexico like asked them to apologize, and their response was like, "It's British." Like, sorry, we made fun of your race because that's what we do in Europe. We make fun of, like, they're much more, it's all very distracting because we have a ton of people just showed up. Hi, everybody. Just say hi. You're already in the podcast.
Hi, everybody.
We're all going so many.
We have Quarter Digital and
girls
in the house. and the ladies.
Are you guys headed out?
Yeah, we're headed out.
Oh, okay.
Where are you guys going? Did you guys just come from the pool?
Yeah, we're going back to our place.
We're going to go swimming after the podcast.
I didn't bring a swimsuit, but or you don't need a swimsuit to swim.
You got jean shorts. That's all you need.
No, it's all dudes.
You got your signature jean shorts and snakes on the plane.
On that or out.
Yeah, it's all dudes.
Just switch with Nico right now. That's cool, right?
That's cool.
No, I didn't think that was actually a real thing to
do. That's probably not cool, actually.
Yeah. To get naked? To get naked at the pool?
Possibly, like, yelling, and you're like...
Mostly just Logan and Matt.
Not right now. I'm laid back.
I know. I got you.
Okay. Wait, what are you talking about?
I have to ride the knobs for you and you and
I've been pretty
Matt.
Quiet this whole time.
No, it's good. It's great. It's a lot easier than usual.
I feel like my levels are actually kind of low. Can you bring me up a little bit?
Like that?
Testing. Quiet. Oh, there we go. We're talking about it. Now we're cooking with gas.
This is too loud.
This is pretty bad podcasting right here.
Yeah.
Hold on. I assume this is all going to get cut, so I'm going to take this chance to go to get a beer.
No, it's not going to get cut.
And all right, cut now.
No.
All right.
Anyway, let's go on.
All right, Logan's going to cut.
Let's take a break. Sam, why don't you hop in there?
Sam, hop in.
Tagged.
Sam, you got to hop in and tell us a topic to talk about. What do you want to talk about?
Because we can talk about them all.
I think you guys should talk about the new YouTube interface. I think that's a really serious issue.
Boring.
Do another topic, Sam.
YouTube stuff for the most part.
Stay away from YouTube stuff.
Another topic, Sam.
I mean, that's not a rule, but we haven't really talked about a whole lot of YouTube stuff. Maybe at some point we will. I don't know.
I feel like we'd have to do a separate podcast for it because it could just take up everything.
Yeah.
Sam, all right. Cool topic. Go.
Cool topic. How about, let's see.
So far you're fucking failing at this.
Dude, I'm so sleepy. I was up to
sleep deprivation.
We were
recording
yesterday for about 18
hours.
Tell
us about this.
No. Let's talk about sleepiness. This is the biggest fallacy that ever. So my entire life, I've always argued against this, even though I had no right to. But I know now because I've finally taken a long flight that being jet lagged is bullshit. There's no fucking thing as jet lag. It is complete fiction, and you're just a wimp anyone who complains about it, it's an excuse that people use to sit there and dick around for a couple days afterwards and be like, oh, I'm just jet lagged.
It depends on which direction you're going. Because going to Europe and back.
I went both ways.
No. Europe and back is not bad. That's not a bad flight. Like, how long was it?
It was 12 hours.
It's like 9 one way, 12 the other,
7,000
right?
miles. I could have gone.
So basically, you're saying you can instantly adjust your sleep cycle.
I went a third of the way around the world. I could have gone 3 more hours out of the way. People, but it was a 9-hour time difference. So that's only 3 hours. That was like 75% maximum.
You have the ability to instantly control your sleep cycles and adjust your entire body.
Am I the only one? Am I gifted? Maybe it's not bullshit.
Many people have normal sleep cycles, and if they go back like 4 hours, then they're awake for an extra 4 hours when they get off the plane. So then they go to bed 4 hours later than they usually do. So then the next morning they're sleepy because they only got 4 hours of sleep or they changed their schedule. Mm-hmm. It's not me. Like I have a sleep schedule.
I remember when I was younger or something. It would be like this. I'd be like, all right, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. But then the next day for some reason, like I'd go to sleep and then the next day it would just be like, it would hit.
Yeah.
It'd be, yeah.
So, I heard it's the rule of thumb is it's basically it's a day adjustment for every hour you shift, essentially. So if you go like ahead like 10 time zones, it takes you like 10 days, essentially.
That's silly.
Wait, what? No way.
I don't believe in that.
No way.
I know that's not true because I was reading up on people who have stayed awake the longest, and the world record is like 12 days. Supposedly, if you could theoretically stay awake for 20 days, you would just die. Like you would literally just
they're
die.
Saying weird stuff happens, like you start to hallucinate.
Well, yeah, that's like normal. But I guess like you literally your body cells would die, like at 20.
Wait, Freddy, did you start hallucinating? You tried this, didn't you? You tried the 4 hours on, 3 hours.
I tried doing the Uberman,
like
yeah, and I failed after like 2 days. But what was kind of weird was this. What was kind of cool is like I did two days of it, but then the crash nap that I took was only like 4 hours. I felt fine, so like. It worked. Like I took a 4-hour nap and I was like, okay, good to go. And I was like, just right back into it.
Wait, that's the Sam's thing. The guy who stayed awake for 11 days straight holding the world record, it took him 3 days of sleep to get back to his normal schedule. So
really?
There's no way to being 10 hours on a plane is going to delay 10 days.
Well, this is my experience of jet lag is that basically yesterday I flew back from Europe, so I gained basically 9 extra hours. Basically, it stayed light for I think 24 hours straight, you know, since I was gaining time. And went to bed at like midnight, slept for 5 hours, woke up at 5:30 a.m. So I guess that'd be the only evidence of jet lag is that I was wide awake at 5:30 a.m. and have been A-okay ever since. So I actually feel more refreshed and better than I've ever felt in my entire life.
Wow.
You're home.
Better.
It's the American air and sun, Brandon.
I woke up wide awake at 5:30 a.m.
Well, here's where you screw up. Because I've had this happen when I went to India, and I've also had this happen when I went to like China. Is if you get there and it's still bright outside, it's basically one step will screw you up. If you get there, it's like 3 in the afternoon and you're really tired and you take a weird nap there, that throws you off for a little bit. It's like
that's the key. So you can't take the nap. You have to power through and immediately adjust their time.
No, if you do that,
that's fine.
As soon
as you start playing the nap game, you get in trouble.
Yeah, that's what I think people are referring to is they play the nap game, and that's what screws them up.
I think some people are just more sensitive with their sleep than other people.
Also, here's the thing, too.
And also, to be fair, we've been ridiculous with our sleep.
Like, if Ashley stays up like an extra 2 hours, she's like sleepy the whole next day.
Really?
She's very... She goes to bed at like 11, and she wakes up in time for work.
This is also coming from a group of people who essentially pull all-nighters weekly.
Yeah, that's true. Freddie and I and Matt, all of us, we pull constant all-nighters, so we don't really... We're so used to having it all over the place.
Yeah, that's true. Logan looks like he's about ready to hop back on. Thank you, Sam.
I'm ready to trade these headphones for a slice of pizza.
Actually, I gotta admit, don't think Sam. I gotta admit, Sam. That was kind of disappointing in your performance.
That sucked.
Dude.
It's great. Don't worry, Logan. You're not losing your job.
Can I actually? let me get back on the microphone.
Sam, stick around for a second. I'd like to actually propose a second podcast, but the thing is, we need that your equipment, Freddie, and your intern to edit it.
But I'd like to propose this anyway.
Logan's a guy who's like, I just want to show up, get my beer and my pizza. I don't want to contribute to this anyway. And now he's asking for a second podcast.
And now the fact that our intern is editing him, like he goes listens through it. Now it's like, now he's not even asking us for a favor. He's not even asking Freddie for a favor. It's like oh, just make your intern.
It's not a favor because I don't get anything out of it except hanging out.
What do you want this second podcast to be about?
I
want to
propose like a wizard cast with Sam, Nico, and me.
Wizard cast.
Yeah, where every week we come up with a new episode for Wizard Adventures.
Well, what do you mean? I don't know what you mean by that.
Sam and Nico have the equipment.
What do you mean by wizards? Like, do you narrate them, or do you guys play roles?
So it's like, let's do an hour. You guys feel free to hop on.
We're pulling Adam Lines into
just
this.
Just lean over and like put your input.
Yeah, but every week, Sam, you on me, and Nico get on Matt.
But maybe every week we spend the first half hour live workshopping an idea for an awesome like wizard battle or fantasy adventure.
What does that mean, though?
We come up with like what the story will be like live. We're like, well, like,
Do it right now.
So Sam, Nico, are you sure? Because it'll take an hour.
No, it won't take an hour.
First half, we're coming
up
with the idea.
Sweet idea in like 5 seconds.
Like, well, what if he had ice wizard battling electricity wizard?
Electricity wizard. So what would his name be?
Pokemon.
I'm thinking like Sir Electro or like you know. Grand Electro. And then so we have to come up with a whole adventure, and then the second half is us live doing the radio broadcast of said battle between the two.
You know, it's really funny, like speaking about like cool like wizard shit like this, we were like pitching some ideas,
wizard ideas,
like yeah you know, wizard kind of like no for this the video we're gonna be doing, it's basically we're gonna do a video where Nico and myself are basically like going after these power crystals that unlock ancient technology, and
fucking Atlanta shit.
Yeah, no, it's pretty intense. But like that's kind of like when you bring that up, it's like, what's up with like, you know, having to go through these like ancient mystical like rites to bring back like better technology than we already have. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you're basically, you go to a magic altar and you like bang stones together and then you unlock like something that is way better than anyone could invent.
Well, these
it's like how, why, like why,
that,
why,
that is, reminds
why,
me.
Why does that happen, you know, in
these
like
are
in fantasy?
Ancient technologies are tens of thousands of years old. It took, like, we've only been around for, you know, 2,000 years.
I mean, I guess the idea is that it's a civilization that was longer than ours.
But
it's like, why do you like
ancients were around for millennia?
I know, but why do you have to clang rocks together?
Yeah, you know? No, Logan's not like, why? It's like, Sam's on a point here.
Well,
why?
It's the simplest.
It's like, why don't you go and like insert like a memory chip or something, and then you get like the cool technology?
Tell you why.
Why is
Listen.
It like you're like you bring a, you just smash something with a
What's
hammer?
What's easier, OS X or doing fucking punch cards 50 years ago? Like some fucking caveman.
No, but why were user interfaces back then seem to be specifically
so
designed?
Easy.
No, specifically designed to be incredibly
user
difficult.
Interfaces.
No, it wasn't difficult. Take crystal A and slam against crystal B. Done.
No. It's usually not that.
And then you unlock the ancient technology.
But Logan, you forget.
Which is usually something like a giant mechanical like monster.
Imagine if every time you wanted to turn on your iPhone, you had to go find 3 separate rocks in 3 separate parts of your
from
house.
From 3 different elements.
From 3 different elements.
You have to take the rock of power, the gemstone.
This is what the wizard cast is.
You guys want to do wizard cast? Any interest?
We'll see how that goes.
That sounds like a no.
You get one wizard cast.
And then we'll see.
And then if it goes over well,
and if people like it, then we'll continue.
Guys, it's a wizard cast. You just tell me when and where. I'll be there.
First, you and Brian have to do your DJing thing.
You're right.
You can't make promises faster than you can fulfill.
Oh, real quick, update.
Really quickly, wizard cast takes zero practice. Wizard cast we could do right now.
Real quick, just an update. How's your DJing going?
1 second, I gotta grab my beer.
Oh my gosh.
What the hell? You just asked a question. Answer the question.
You saw me walking towards my beer. So, it's going fun. Like, it's DJing, going fun. DJing is incredibly fun, but I gotta say, I'm pretty shitty at it, which is to be expected when you start anything, right? But, you know, I'm improving slowly. It's incredible. I can't stress enough how fun it is.
When are you ready? When are you ready for a show? A personal show, just like with us, you know, just your peers,
your
friends.
I'm not going to do a show, but I will do a... How about I publish my first mix
EP.
Of something, like some sort of wave, 2 weeks from today.
Okay, two weeks from today. All right, we'll listen to it.
It'll probably just be the intro for DJ Maximum Mega Juice.
I'll even give you 2 weeks and a day, Monday. Two Mondays.
I got a request, though. If you guys can tweet this, it'd be really appreciated. I want And the Soul Still Burns from Soul Calibur. I need that audio clip.
And the soul still burns.
And the soul still burns. It's from Soul Calibur.
You haven't been able to find it?
I cannot find it. But I want that to be my, like, you know how, like, people have, like, let's get ready to rumble? I want, like, and the soul still burns. As, like,
is that how it sounds? Is it that calm?
Yeah, it's this, like, tall white dude, like, doing, like, and the soul still burns. Like, I just want that. If somebody could get me that Soul Calibur clip, Freddie, if you tweet it, I bet somebody will get it to you. But if you can get that wave, I really could use it.
And the soul... Are you sure?
It's from the Soul Calibur games. In fact, if you Google and the soul still burns, it just links you to a bunch of unrelated YouTube clips of Soul Calibur.
Wait, but can't you... Do they play it in those YouTube clips?
No.
Just pull it from the... No.
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 And at least not when I'm scrubbing through each
We're
one.
We're going to tweet it right
seconds.
Now. So
I'm going to tweet it right now.
Okay, so when you're listening to this podcast, you could track back and figure out exactly when we recorded it.
Which is kind of fun.
Of the guys.
Should we turn this into like a detective mystery?
Let's do a Google Maps hunt too.
Wait, can somebody send me a sample of the guy saying...
I look out my window, I see Hewitt 500.
What? No!
No!
That has to be edited.
I do need to edit that now.
Really?
Wait, yes,
can
jackass.
You put it, can you make
so
it a cool...
on the other foot.
Can you make it a cool address? Like... Put it to somebody else.
It's going to say Hewitt Beep.
No, you don't want to say that.
Hewitt's a really small street.
I didn't have to say it again.
It's
a street, fucker. It could have been a fucking...
It's over.
That was all this editing.
It could have been a donut
this
factory.
It's all gone.
It could be a donut factory for
all right,
you know.
If you're tuning in now, that gap in the audience is because Logan was an idiot and told people the name of our street
just
that we're living
it.
On.
Just beep it.
Which
are, you
be,
afraid, are you afraid
which by Freddie's saying
up?
That now, like, now everyone wants to look for it since Freddie's made it like a prize.
I know. Yeah. Dude, nobody gives
a
fuck about where you live.
We've had people come up to our street.
But it's not like they beat off on your chest or something. Like, it's,
no.
I'm sure it's totally fine.
You don't know.
No. Wait, you gotta hear these creepers I saw. I could have sworn they must have been, like, doing something
with
Freddie and Brandon.
Tell us about this one.
I was walking out. I was coming out of my car, and there's this van. Oh, no, sorry. It was a black SUV, and it had two girls in the back and two dudes in the front. And this dude looked, for a moment there, I thought it was a guy we knew, like, business-wise, kind of this manager, because he was bald and kind of looked similar to him. And I was like, oh, I guess he came to visit. Because it was a nice looking car. But no, it was some creeper dude. And he's like, hey, you know Freddy? And I was like, yeah. He's like, tell him we're his biggest fans.
I was like, okay.
And he's like, yeah.
Weird.
And then this girl behind, and then the girl in the back was like, he has cancer. Because he was bald. He's like, yeah, he has cancer. But she was saying it like a joke, and they all started laughing. And the guy looked, he's like, yeah, if you need anybody to play Hitman, tell him I'm the man, because I look just like Hitman. And he did kind of look like Hitman if he gained 80 pounds. And was ugly, but that's what. And he's like, yeah, you just tell him his biggest fan came by, and he drove off. And then I came back, I was like, hey, did you guys do something with this dude who's just messing with me? And they're like, I have no idea who that guy is.
That's so weird.
So that's weird. So that's
we
why
had a French kid come with his dad. Like, they were on vacation apparently, and they're like, I walked outside. He's like, Freddy, hello. Hello, can I take a picture? I was like, okay. And his dad was sitting there with his.
How did they deduce that?
I think they're just looking at Google Maps and just going around LA.
Yeah, don't say
it.
How they deduced it, because that would be the same as saying the address, you idiot. Well, hey, how do you deduce that? Well, he looked here and here and here, and then he figured out exactly
Freddy,
where we
I
were.
I mean, you guys don't live where you used to live, so.
We still work out of it. But okay, anyway, the point is, it's weird. It's a little weird.
Anyway, so we talked about Europe. Should we talk about the space program?
Yeah, any more cool things in Europe?
Space.
Cool things in Europe. I mean, it was really just a model of like just inefficiency and seeing stuff. And the thing is that this goes
Europe,
both.
A Europe, model of inefficiency.
It really, but the thing is, it goes both ways because there was positive things that came out of this inefficiency, and there was negative things. So like,
what's a positive thing?
Well, here's the thing:
great bread.
I brought, so America, we like to design everything. Like, we like to design everything to the T. We like to improve systems. We like to keep making things better and better. In this effort, we've actually made things a lot less fun. Because like in Europe, it was shocking. Like you can take the train window down. You can take it down, not just like a little bit. You can take it down all the way, and you can stick your head out there. And there's wooden posts coming 6 inches away from the train flying past, and you're welcome to stick your head out there and get it lopped right off. That's your choice. In America, we don't have that choice. We've lost that choice because you know what? People did that and did get killed.
Then they sued everyone.
So basically, there's not the sue, the litigation economy.
The downside of what we do in America is. The over safetyification of everything makes it so, yes, indeed, it is much safer, but you lose like a lot of fun. Because I mean, it's a personal choice. I personally prefer to have the choice to stick my head out of the train window and be able to enjoy the breeze, because I feel like I'm bright enough not to get it knocked off, you know. And if I do, then that's my own damn fault, and I don't expect anybody to be to blame for it but myself, you know. But some people in America did think of someone else to be to blame, and so far they sued and then ruined it for everybody.
There's that movie that just came out, Hot Coffee. Supposedly, it's pretty incredible.
It's a documentary about the McDonald's burn case.
And everything I've read about it is that after it, you fucking hate corporate America. Because when it came out, everything was like, oh, that dumb bitch. Like,
no, that's an actual legitimate case.
And everything, like this case is like, this was legitimate. This was crazy. They slandered her in the press. Like, the coffee holding temperature was massive. And ever since that settlement, they dropped the coffee holding temperature by like 100 degrees, you know, some huge number. Supposedly it's a pretty good documentary, but because I remember when that came out, that was a joke in school. Everybody was like, oh, the dumb coffee.
Yeah, it's
bitch.
An example of an overly litigious society where it's like, if you look at the facts of the case, it's like, it is actually an interesting
and
case.
And the reason it was so much money was they were penalizing McDonald's, I believe. It didn't go all
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, that's a penalizing. Yeah. Amount. That's not like she made this much. It's like, no, the judge was like, you guys are throwing your dick around, and the only way to really get this through your skulls is to give
yeah. Because if you make McDonald's pay $10 million, that
they will care.
They won't. $10 million, they'll be like, okay,
okay. So by the way, just real quick. So I said, hey, can someone send me the sample of "And the Soul Still Burns" from Soul Calibur? And I get in all caps from a guy saying, the name of the game is Soul Calibur, SOULCALIBUR, not Soul Calibur, The other ways of spelling it. It's like very passionate. About
you should have actually gotten that right.
That's actually that wrong. Kind of pathetic.
Yeah, I'm actually way more disappointed in you.
He was doing a good call. You should probably delete that tweet and retweet it.
I would tweet it right and thank
the person who corrected you.
Yeah.
And call them out. Call them out on how correct they were.
Soul Calibur and Calibur, that's like there, there, and there, man. Come on.
I mean, it's definitely I've always known it to be BUR.
Yeah.
If anything else would be absurd.
That's ridiculous.
What is it, like the Calibur?
I gotta come out. I would have spelled it ER as well. Absolutely would have spelled
it ER. It's been a while.
That's a great game, by the way.
That's a great game. All of them have been great.
I haven't played the newer ones, like where you get to be Yoda and shit.
And Link and stuff, yeah. It's pretty
and,
cool.
And Lincoln?
Who cares?
Like, yeah, Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
No, like why
Abraham
would you want to play those crappy characters?
No, Link.
I would love
Zelda.
To play as Yoda.
I would love to play as Yoda versus Lincoln in Soul Calibur.
I bet Yoda's actually pretty easy because his hit box is so small.
Yoda was actually pretty good in that game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could have guessed. I actually did guess it just then.
There you go.
You heard it right.
So
here.
Guys, what do you think I should do for my first mix?
Wait, I thought we were going to talk about space.
Well, let's talk about my first mix. I want to hear what you guys think.
Well,
I should do.
You mean like, well, Sweet Child of Mine's got to be in there somewhere.
No, I want it to be unfiltered Logan. I don't want any of us.
But it would really help to have some restraints, to be fair.
No. But this is your first time. I'd rather you go nuts and then us be like, okay, I would suggest this song and this song, perhaps. Yeah, I want to see you raw first.
I just
then
want, like, what,
bring you back.
Any requests? So, Sweet Child of Mine. I'll be sure to put some Sweet Child of Mine in there. Anything else you guys want to see? It can be more general. Like, I want it to taste like honey, or like I want a song by Philip D'Souza in there. Like, I just want
the largest spread of BPMs you possibly can fit in there, and smoothly transition between. I want you to go super fast, and I want you to go super slow, and I want to not have my rhythm be interrupted.
Thank you, Brandon. That will be in there.
I want I already got one.
I like the honey.
I was going to say Phil Collins. A Phil Collins song.
Got it, Freddie. Phil Collins will be there.
I want some video game soundtracks in there, Logan.
Ooh.
Some Naboo.
Some 8-bit.
Done.
Some
Naboo. Right. That'll be in there.
All right.
Phil Collins, giant BPM switches, Sweet Child of Mine, 8-bit soundtrack.
All right.
Those are requests. Dun, dun,
dun, I'm already going to buy that CD. That's a pre-order.
Also, Freddie, tweet requests, please. Tweet requests.
I'm going to just get the first few, okay?
Logan's discovered the Twitter power. So the beauty of Twitter...
Oh, I knew about the Twitter power long before today.
So the thing that people don't... I mean, like, the initial response to Twitter was people like, oh, I'm not going to use that. Who wants to hear about your stupid little thoughts? You know, like,
it's
the
a
idea
great
of
way to quick figure out something.
Yeah, and there's...
Especially
and
when you have tons of users like you guys.
Yeah, there's a special luxury that it affords you. If you have a large amount of followers, or basically anywhere at any time, people can search for things for it. You know, basically you can ask any question, and you're crowdsourcing enough people that you're bound to get not just one correct answer, but like 10 correct answers. You also get like 5 incorrect answers, but you know, all in all, it you know, you basically can get any question answered instantly.
Something's going on in the background.
Tile.
A like man has shown up to work at Freddy's place.
Come on, Brandon. A gentleman. Clean it up.
Somebody did a study about what's asked on Twitter versus Google. It's pretty interesting. I wish I had anything more to say about that, but I don't.
I'm just going to hang
next
this
week.
Next week, we'll talk about it.
Really quickly, since we're going to reference other weeks, Freddy, how did your OKCupid go over?
I got the only profile responses I got were from people who heard the podcast and then were like
dudes. So dudes.
I don't know. I
Same
don't
with
know.
Dez.
Probably dudes.
Why didn't you look into it? You didn't click
because they were all non-completed profiles.
Right, it's okay.
They usually say like male or female.
I didn't see that. No, I didn't look.
Did you,
Freddy dates blind, man. He doesn't care.
Did you message anybody to see if you get responses?
No, love, I did not. I did none of
yeah,
that.
It's love.
Logan,
it's
why don't you tell everyone
love
about
love doesn't have a gender.
Yeah.
Wait, quickly, did you post pictures of yourself?
No, I didn't do a picture.
Dez's Freddy. Pictures were great, by the way.
You have to do a picture.
I haven't seen Dez's.
I want to date Dez after his pictures.
I gotta go.
Although, wait, Logan's first, was it 5 or 6 responses? He actually got messaged right away because Dez, as a joke, set your sexual preference to bisexual.
I got so many dudes.
That's what I heard.
I felt actually.
And Dez
gross.
Is really funny because
gross.
I know. I was about to say you did not like it. You didn't think it was funny.
And Dez was saying,
I did not think it was funny.
Dez was saying he pulled me aside and said, "Man, I've never seen Logan so like."
Well, I was
like,
flustered.
"No, Matt, was that you?" You're like,
yeah,
I've never
I was
seen
super flustered.
Matt was like, "I've never seen Logan get so affected flustered. By anything."
And you were really flustered.
Well, one thing about Logan that this has happened before is that Logan's completely straight, but he's guys
gay
find
magnet.
Him really attractive.
That's also true. You know, they find me really gay too.
Let's tell a story. The video, the biceps.
Wait, we're
gonna link to it too.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah,
my god.
This is
okay.
What I'm getting at.
So we were way back, actually, right after we graduated, we all made a bunch of us made a joke YouTube account that was like what we do after college, and it's like and everyone had the password, and I was like just put up whatever, and just you know lets everyone keep track of each other after college, and let's see what's going on.
Lasted about 5 weeks.
That's about 5 weeks. It was a fun 5 weeks. You know, people were like little vlogs and stuff. And it was just meant for us and our friends. Logan.
Now we're going to send a link to all of you guys.
That's
so you
true,
guys can
yeah.
actually look at
Logan
it.
Put up a video of him. It's called Logan's Guns. And it was basically in iPhoto. You know how you can take a bunch of photos and then you can like play them back and it's like Ken Burns. As the photos sort of morph and fade in and fade out. Logan did that with just a bunch of pictures of him and his iChat webcam flexing and like wearing aviators and just like, that's
I'm not wearing aviators. I'm literally just flexing.
Just flexing.
With a shirt on.
With a shirt on.
It's called Logan's Guns.
And so I was looking through this account and like all, I was like, okay, 100 views here, 200 views here, 10,000 views. What the like Logan's like Guns had like it was whatever it was, it was just like a magnitude higher.
And it should be noted at this point in time most of our videos were getting like 300 views.
Yeah,
so
at most,
this was
at
like 5,000, so it was kind of like whoa, wait, what?
And so I took a look and it was like all the comments on it were like, hey, hot, you got any more videos? Ooh, yeah. And all the demographics, all older male dudes looking at it. I'm like, Logan, they're dudes just, and then like all the related videos, just like hot young boy
flexing feet,
flexing his arms,
sweet calves.
Does that make you feel dirty?
Yeah,
I chuckle. That one was more chuckly. I don't mind that stuff.
Really? Because that one, like...
Because you know
that
they're probably...
The usernames of all the accounts were Bearman1220.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one that was like, this young couple grew up to be a
this,
nice, strong bear.
So, yeah. That's really less... Because OKCupid are guys who are just like, this is a person I'd like to meet and have a relationship with, perhaps. Or no, these were gross old men who probably had their dicks out typing to you,
well, the,
touching
okay,
themselves, looking at you. That's grosser to me. That's way grosser.
The reason
way,
that OKCupid one bothered me way more was because my picture's on it. And I'd say if you actually are on OKCupid, one every 5 days you'll see somebody you know. And so my fear was that somebody, like, from Imagineering or something would find my me, like, lurking as this bisexual dude, like, swinging an OkCupid. They'd be like, what else don't we
actually, that's actually pretty legitimate. There's some pretty good, at Disney, there's some pretty good moments where, like, Facebook or situations came out online where, like, oh, this guy is screwing a dude, you know, like,
but he was keeping it secret.
But somebody saw it on Facebook, or like an old or somebody had something on their old MySpace, so they thought nobody would see it anymore.
And the thing is, like,
and it was huge. Like, anytime that happened, everybody in the office, all 400 people knew about it within a day. And even people I didn't know.
Because maybe it's because I just watched Top Gun and Masters of the Universe every day from age 3 to age 8. But like, in my day-to-day functioning, I come across as incredibly homoerotic just from my flexing and posing alone.
And the fact that, once again, you have no problem wearing jean shorts.
It's the jean cutoff shorts, dude. That's really what I'm telling you. That's like 90% of the problem.
I don't wear those to work, though. But even at work, it's like, yeah, Logan's a pretty homoerotic dude.
And the martial arts. Everything really adds up.
I mean, there's a lot of comments on some of those
Jedi.
Things.
You guys saw Jedi a-holes.
Yeah.
So, Logan, by the way, for your DJ Mega Mix, three more. I'm just picking three random ones. Cedar Frog Hair wants Hamster Dance and Daft Punk in there.
Oh God!
All right, I like that.
Wait, what did you do? Random ones? How many ones came?
There's like 10 here.
Wow, that was fast.
Thunderstruck by AC/DC has to be on there.
Done.
Someone asks, is it decent?
Is it decent? And then Zoxen, is it like Descent? Is it like the sweet first-person shooter?
No. Although I love that game.
Really? I found it to be
it was
rather
so
bland.
Hard, but it's it was classic. So cool.
When did you play it though? Did you play it when it came out?
Oh, yeah. And Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, because this guy says, Alfonso Alvarez says, I can't find a good remix of it. So you could be that good remix.
Alfonso Alvarez.
What do you mean the
remix?
Can you,
can I forward you the Twitter account? Yeah,
I'm trying to think what I can do to easily see those, the other ones.
Just,
There's no good way.
No.
There's really no good way now.
Go back to the Twitter feed at 7:10 p.m.
Whatever. Can you ask him to do a tag or something? Or just
no.
Shit.
Too late.
So let's talk about the space program really quick. Specifically,
the end of it.
Well, yeah, there will never be something launched into space ever again.
Well, they were saying this, and I was reading about. No,
I don't know anything about this. I was in Europe.
The shuttle. It was the last shuttle launch.
Last shuttle launch.
Yeah, they don't have that kind of
no more
there.
Shuttle.
Well, see, here's the thing. They were. Some people were saying, well, you know what? That's actually not a bad thing because the shuttle as is. It's
pretty antiquated, right?
Like, it's antiquated. There's issues with like the whole, because there's like it's basically the debate of like, okay, well, are we going to have people, you know, in these anymore? Because it's like we could build these to much harder tolerances if it's unmanned. Like maybe we should be taking more efforts into getting our unmanned stuff better. Because, you know, right now, the way it is, it's like, yeah, we need to send a guy up there.
The only reason to put men up in space is there's like a romantic notion that encourages kids to like, learn about science and become spacemen. There's really no reason.
Iron Man can go into space, right? Iron Man?
Yes, in real life too.
Okay.
But there's
just no
work
on that.
And he built that in like a couple weeks.
There's nothing a human can do in space that a robot can't. Right?
Well, that was the thing.
Enjoy it.
No, no, no.
Enjoy it.
No, there's definitely cognitive.
It was the problem is it was like problem solving. It was quick, like, because right now it was like, okay, if there's an issue, a person is much better equipped to solve the problem than like a robot.
I didn't say robots with AI. You just have the robots be remote controlled. Their arms can do
well, but even that
can do.
I mean,
their arms break.
But that's what they're saying. Anyway, but that's what they're saying. They're saying maybe we should like this is a way of like, okay, well, we're putting this sort of humans in space to rest. We're transitioning over to doing this unmanned and like robotically controlled space flight. That's basically it. But pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Not pretty cool, because now my dream has to die.
Of being an astronaut.
Well, no, but here's where it's stepping up is private jet rockets.
Everybody says the private thing. I just don't think there's a lot of money in that.
There's not that.
Well,
many
no, there is no. But here's the thing. It's one of those things where it's and you kind of wish. I kind of wish more like ridiculously rich people got into this, because it's like John Carmack, right? The guy who created id Software.
He was building rockets for a while.
He still is. He's still the CEO of his company. And the other there's like another one, and the guy who started that was the Twitter CEO. The guy who started Twitter. One of the guys who started Twitter was like, I'm gonna put $100 million into this, like into space. Yeah, which is like it's so cool because it's like it's one thing. It's like I wish more like rich, crazy rich people were just like, I fucking love space. I just want to make rockets. Here's $100 million for rockets.
I don't think space is going to become a legitimate tourist destination until space elevators become a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Or slingshots. Slingshots. They just shoot you.
That's not real. What you said is not real. But a space elevator is very real. And a space elevator would dramatically reduce the cost of putting things in.
Yeah, because right now it's like, what, it's 63.4 pounds of fuel for every 1 pound
which
to
is
go
like,
into orbit.
Fuck that shit. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Just get a space elevator going. Just get it going. Come on, guys. Japan, where are you?
That's true. This is the kind of thing that the Japanese would invent.
Well, I mean,
I feel like space elevators would be really easy to break.
Oh, they're super easy to break. But we have scary. We got to try.
Try to do it a few times first.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a parachute.
I'm pretty sure Al-Qaeda would stay away from a space elevator.
See, I don't think
did
so.
You
I
see
think
the?
So
did
easy.
You see the news that was like that? Like Bin Laden was planning on like a bunch of attacks on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
None of those would have worked.
The one that they were like, eh, this one could have worked was he was planning on flying
like a Cessna into like a football game. It's
yeah,
like, good like job, that. Guys. What a pathetic, limp dicked like attempt at a
half of Middle America's like that shit happens like every rally race we go to.
Yeah,
like whatever.
Yeah. Cessnas flying into things is just like. Yeah, that feel like that happens once a month.
Like, yeah, it's like some rich dude
opiates or something.
Some rich dude was bringing up his girlfriend, and they mysteriously crashed, and it was probably because they were having fun.
By the way, Freddie, I want to hear your reaction on have you ever heard of Richard Knox?
Richard Knox, no, what is that?
He's
who is that,
a
rather?
Priest slash detective fiction writer. He wrote a bunch of detective pulp fiction in the 20s.
Okay,
fairly famous, and he made a 10 rules for. Detective novels, and like most of them are fairly obvious things, like you can't have an evil twin because that's cheap, like,
yeah,
ciphers
yeah.
are cheap, stuff like that. You can't have internal monologues from the person who ends up being the perpetrator, because again, it's basically things to make detective novels feel legitimate.
Okay.
And number 7 is just no Chinaman.
Well, you know what that's referencing though,
the fact that apparently I looked into it.
It's like a stand-in in these old... Even well, Sherlock Holmes
It was like a fallback. It was a fallback. It's like...
Oh, the mysterious like, Orientals.
The evil Chinaman was so overplayed at this point that he's like, God, it's just overplayed. Just don't do it anymore. But I just love that on this list, it's just like, no Chinaman.
None. That's a rule.
That's incredible.
That's a rule.
Well, that's what... Did you ever see the BBC Sherlock?
No.
So basically,
the new one. Moffat?
Yeah, Moffat and Gaddis.
Who's this Moffat character? Why does he get so much work?
Because he fucking wrote Coupling, which is like
it seems like he's
accounts.
The. Is he like the Joss Whedon from across the pond?
So,
is he like the Joss Whedon?
So you're upgrade? Talking about really incredible writer that's now making it big? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like somebody that all the geeks love that yeah. like is making.
No, Moffat was his dad was a writer. He wrote a pretty popular sitcom. And then he wrote Coupling, which was massive. Made it across
the. What's Coupling? Is that
like Friends,
about,
but funny?
Really funny, very clever. He
you
wrote
know,
every
Friends
episode.
Friends is a good time.
It's just yeah, it's Friends. Then he wrote the best Doctor Who episode.
Phoebe's always just getting into crazy situations. Come on, Phoebe, stop. Look, think about your actions.
Just consider
poor
them.
Logan watching this. Just endless frustration watching Friends. Phoebe just keep getting into problems.
So she made him. He made it's a he, right? Steve
yeah,
Moffat. That sounds like a man.
Yeah,
it's a he, right?
It's a him, right?
He's just a Hanks. Popular writer,
he, right?
He
it's a guy.
Friends.
It's a guy, yeah.
And then he did.
Was Coupling's also a reaction to the AIDS epidemic?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Okay. And it's he did Jekyll, then he did the best episodes of Doctor Who, and then he became Doctor Who showrunner, which is obviously a big deal in Bryn. But he was also got called aboard to do Spielberg's Tintin, which
he wrote. He wrote like the first.
Guys, everybody, be quiet for a second. Hear that? You know who that is, everybody? That's Freddy's mom. I'm dead serious. That's Freddy's mom. Freddy,
dead
confirm.
Serious.
Don't lie.
Yes, confirm. She's down here to help us out with some tile work.
Freddy's mom, great.
The way you said that makes it sound like your mom has come down to do tile work in your place.
She's helping. Oh, no, she's helping us. She's helping us find the subcontractors because my family does home construction, and she happens to be the interior designer of our.
Freddy's mom's awesome.
She's a home building rock star.
Yeah,
she reminds me of my mom, and that like even now she'll bring Freddy like clothes every time, right?
Wait. No, not clothes.
Every
time.
Mom does that. Whose mom doesn't? Matt, does Wait, your mom give you clothes every time you come home?
Give me clothes?
Not well, you're in LA though. I guess that doesn't count.
No, I mean, she, like if I come home, like she'll do laundry if I bring it, like with that.
Yeah. You want to get on, mom? Oh gosh.
Please come say hi. Say hi.
Oh, Freddie's mom's gonna come say hi.
Hi.
Later.
How are you? I'm Freddie's mom.
Oh God.
Cleaning for Freddie. Putting
That's
on
terrible.
My
mask. Freddie, clean your own shit up. Jesus Christ.
I can't. It's not possible. My mom is like a Roomba.
Wait, on a scale of 1 to 10, how clean is Freddie?
Well, depends. His bathroom is pretty clean.
Yeah.
No. I'm wrong.
No, it's gross. She's like mouthing like it's actually really gross. Yeah,
it's no,
gross.
It's not. It's not. It, could, it cannot be as bad as Matt's bathroom was. You remember Matt's bathroom?
Silent Hill.
It should be known where we held ourselves to a different standard than Matt.
But this is one of the most amazing things ever. Matt had an apartment once, and it was just like, it's just one of those things where it's like four roommates, whatever, and just nobody decided to clean it. Walking into that bathroom was literally fire up Silent Hill 2 and go into one of the bathrooms where it was just like red cake.
Was it like a flickering light?
No, it was like flickering light, like red, just red cake. Is that blood or
I'm
shit?
I'm not the cleanest guy, and I was the clean guy of that apartment.
Yeah, and Matt.
You're filthy, right?
I got pretty clean.
All your roommates always talk about how dirty Matt is.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, but Matt was the clean guy.
The clean guy, and they got to a certain point where I was like, "That's it." So the corner of the TV where all my stuff is, I cleaned, and then my corner of the apartment where my desk is was super clean and vacuumed like once a week, and that was it. And then I gave up, vacuumed. And that place went bad.
Dude, it was Silent Hill. So bad.
Like, literally, think like a mountain of trash, like the whole place.
Oh, yeah, like the no toilet paper roll. And it's like a little trash can, and it's just literally overflowing with just crumpled up toilet paper.
So I'm living by myself for the first time ever, and I think I might do this forever. Maybe forever. I don't think I'm going to get a roommate again.
When I lived by myself in Burbank,
what about life mate?
A life mate?
Yeah.
You mean like a doll?
Like one of those.
No, I'm not going to get it.
No, here's what I wonder, because with the toilets, you know, like I can use a toilet 100 times and there still won't be like anything physically, like chunks of things.
Or there's no stuff like clinging to the rim.
Brandon, are you implying you don't poop?
I do, but it goes down the toilet when I flush.
You know what it is, Brandon? By the way, Brandon, here's what I think.
How does that happen?
It has to do with... I think it has a lot to do with both water and also the type of toilet. Because when I was living with Logan, the toilet that we had, I had to clean that like every couple weeks. But then it's like other places, not as much. It's like it definitely varies.
Okay.
That could have just been your diet.
Matt, I was just wondering, because my diet's been pretty similar. Like, it looked like... So I just don't know. At what point does the toilet stop being, you know, like, white and clean and start being Silent Hill? You know, like, what does it start like?
It starts when you stop cleaning is when...
It's like the second podcast now. It's just ended with just...
Us attacking Matt.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt,
I made Ashley
listen to this. No, it wasn't last time. When was the last time we attacked you?
When you described me and my awesome tattoos.
Oh, no.
I should probably put a picture up of all my sweet tattoos.
Listen, is not an attack on Matt. You were the clean guy. This
no, I know. I'm not saying it was an attack. I'm saying last time I was an attack, you just thought my tattoos were awesome looking, from what I remember.
Yeah,
what are you whining about?
We didn't explain them in their full glory.
You made Ashley listen to these?
Are you bummed out at us now?
No, I've actually been telling for
Matt's about to storm out.
I was supposed to leave at 7.
Matt, what did Ashley think when she listened to this? What did Ashley think? She laughed.
She doesn't think about this, though, right?
No, she wouldn't have listened. She used to listen, and she doesn't anymore. And then I told her that what they said.
Wait, which one did she stop on?
I don't remember. She was like, she actually thought it was just boring.
No, she said we were boring. To be fair, these are really boring.
Yeah. So then I told her. I told her what they said. And I never listened to that. That's it.
I listened to one.
I think she might have listened to it and just laughed.
I feel terrible now.
She wasn't offended. She thought it was funny.
Wait, the one where we described her as being like a beast and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's got a good sense of humor for a big girl.
They have a good sense of humor. Like, the way they get picked on.
Well, they have to, otherwise...
They won't make it.
And it's not like she's fat big. She's like broad shoulder big, like muscular. Like, you know, so she's kind of proud of it.
She could wrestle. She could be a wrestler.
She could bench press me.
Like, think of, like, the girls, you know, throw a discus.
I'd let her bench press me. Yeah. Is that too much, Matt?
It's a little too much.
I'm down to let her bench press me.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of which, I actually have to go.
And while Matt leaves.
Wait, really quickly. Matt, where are you going?
I'm going to my girlfriend's.
To what? To what?
We're going to
work out.
To where?
Work out.
We're going to go to dinner.
Yeah. Work out.
We're gonna go bench press.
Cheesecake Factory.
We're gonna get on my motorcycle, and she's gonna get on her little sidecar, big sidecar.
Big sidecar.
Go to Cheesecake Factory.
Do the every flavor
and
challenge.
We're gonna come back and eat some ice cream. Yeah.
Matt, let's
and watch Friends.
Matt, let's get serious for a second. Where are you going out to dinner?
Probably just a Thai place. It's not like some super fancy date.
What type was?
All right.
Why isn't it a super fancy date?
When she asked, why are you late? Right? I'm going to say because Logan was asking about our date.
Yeah, sorry, what type was? There's no harm in that.
Thai house? No.
Yeah?
Thai house. You made that up. There's no
Thai house. On Atlantic.
Is it good?
Oh.
Thai house. It's a Thai place. So wait a minute. Half of Thai places or Asian places are called
their
ethnicity plus house or best.
Matt, but seriously.
Best Chinese house.
Matt, how long have you been going with Ashley for?
Over 6 years now.
Over 6 years.
When are you going to tie that knot?
Sometime after.
Do you want to announce it right here?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have here.
That would never happen.
You guys can't see it, but Matt's showing us a ring right now.
It's pretty massive.
Really quickly, a year from now, do you expect that that has happened?
You're
or
just
not?
Logan. You know what? You're just gonna have to see what happens.
Matt, I'm just saying. A year from now,
you're just gonna have to see what happens, Matt, Logan.
Matt's literally backing out of this.
Matt, really quickly, surprise, will I get invited?
I'm Loganing out of this. This is how Logan would get
really
out.
Really quickly,
are we invited, Matt,
Logan?
Are we invited? Invited? But Matt, will I get invited?
Brandon and Freddie definitely. Logan, I'm not so sure about right now.
Is it because Ashley hates me?
A little bit.
I piss her off.
Actually, no, I don't think I don't think she's ever mentioned you. No, she did actually. She said she saw there's a professor at her place that she thinks is you in 40 years, and she complimented saying he had really nice hair.
That's nice. That's nice.
Matt's younger brother proposed to his girlfriend, Matt, and ever since.
No joking aside, Logan, I get invited to your podcast. Would I get invited?
Logan just wants to know if he'll get invited.
Would I get invited?
I honestly don't know.
What?
I mean, I don't know. I've never planned it. It'd probably be Ashley's decision.
Whenever Mass talked to me about it, he's always said he wanted a small wedding. So.
I don't know. What if it's like a 20-person wedding?
But it's not. It's not.
I have no idea. It's not even happening.
Why not 21, Matt? Why not 21?
Why not 21, then?
I'm just saying.
Skip blackjack.
I have no idea. Don't ask a question if you don't want the answer, Logan.
But seriously, you fucking you invite these two clowns.
If it was 20-person, if it was 20-person, probably not.
We've known Matt a lot longer. Yeah.
And if it was 20-person, they probably wouldn't be invited either.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like we have a
connection. Look, if there is at least, if there's over 200 people showing up, Logan, I can guarantee you'd be one of those.
What about under 100?
Be a close call. I'm not sure.
You're right on the edge there. Matt's got kind of a big family, like Matt, 20 people.
I do. I have like 40 family members, actually. So actually, if it was 50, if I only had 50 on my side, that would actually probably be pretty tough.
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to invite your cousins, fuck, dude. I'm closer than your cousins.
Your cousins don't podcast with you every week, Matt.
I'm practically a cousin.
All right, I got to go now. This has been good. Logan, don't worry about it.
I'm just, fuck, dude.
Man, Logan's really feeling
this. I did on a bummer now.
I thought we
and you know it's got to come up soon.
You know what you should do?
Clock is ticking.
You know what you should do, Matt? You should do a fake wedding.
No, this podcast goes on any longer, though. I can guarantee you it's not going to happen.
No.
So I should
what are you trying to say?
If it was that, if everybody was going out there for 6 years, if it was that fragile, then you should just end it right now.
No, I think you could probably, like.
You could probably totally just not call, just turn your phone off and just keep podcasting for 10 more hours.
You could blow her off and she'd still be coming back because Matt is grade A.
Grade A, thank ladies you,
Logan.
And gentlemen.
Logan's trying really hard now.
The next few months.
Logan, what's the 10
few months going to be nothing quick. But Logan, like, Matt, I brought the beard today. I brought the beard to the podcast this time.
Logan, 10 great things about Matt. Top 10. Your top 10.
A, his new haircut is great.
Great.
He didn't get a haircut.
B, I love that his headphones have a cute picture on them. It's true.
So really, number two about Matt is actually
So far, he looked at my head and said the and two things that came to him.
One step down to his ears, and also complimented him something that is an inanimate object.
He has a really nice. His collars look really good on his neck. The logo on his shirt is pretty nice.
His neck tattoo.
All right. So far. You're going down the
number
body.
Number three.
I like his hips. I think his hips.
Number four. That was
the
number
they
four.
The way they sway when he walks.
The way they sway. And
Logan,
four.
You're trying to get in the wedding
gonna,
here.
That,
number
this
five.
This cow's going to be a
Shut
big
up.
Bear
I got
someday.
10. I got 10.
Okay, number so four.
These are all hitting me, though. He's hitting all the sweet spots.
Number four, his sense of humor.
Oh, thank you, Logan.
I can't. And number five, his wit.
Which is different than sense of humor.
Absolutely. Number six, his work ethic. Incredible. Number seven, the way he looks at me when I'm coming up with these. I'm turning into microwave butter right now.
in about 30 seconds, you're going to explode everywhere.
Yeah. Number eight, the fact that he wears white socks. Fantastic.
Gray socks after they've been worn around the drone for a while.
Number nine.
I was informed that nobody wears crew socks anymore.
No, that's why I think they're adorable.
I bought two packs of these. I two packs of crew socks. He's like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, they're adorably passe. I just found that out now. Like a statement.
Wait, so what do we wear now? We just wear the ankle high ones?
Ankle. Or none. And another
so
ankle.
Wear what?
Not even
nine.
Ankle. Ankle, as you said, ankle is too high. You gotta wear the ones that just like barely
these,
get.
These, those. The ones I'm wearing.
I hate those. They fucking come off my feet.
They come off my feet too. They're crap.
That's what I wear. They stay on my
feet. Still two more, Logan.
Number nine, your sense of design. I think you're a great designer, great game designer. And number
you already
10,
said that. You already said something.
I did
like,
say
you
know,
that work
about design,
like,
not about
two
design.
Slight differences.
A very big difference. And number 10, your love of Joss Whedon, because I find it to be fucking ridiculous.
Wow. Logan got into the wedding. He got into the wedding.
Oh,
thank
man.
You.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're good to go here. Right. So
if you guys could all list 10 things you love about Freddie and Brandon, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
You can get invited to their wedding, which will be next week.
All right.
Yeah, cup lover.
All right. So... That's
done.
That's what we've done. Matt has to go.
Later, guys. Thanks.